Special meditation for Planet Lightworker, December 18th, 2005. Question today is for Planet Lightworker, and it reads, I've read Kuo's response in Planet Lightworker e-magazine for November to the question about the concept of densities and vibration levels. The Kuo group spoke of 7 densities in an octave. Others in the esoteric world speak of 12 dimensions. Can you explain the difference?
We are those known to you as the principle of Kuo. Greetings in the love and the light of the one infinite creator. We come in the creator's service this day to respond to the call of the circle of seeking. May we thank each of you for setting aside the time to create a circle of seeking and to call for us to share information with you. It is our pleasure and our privilege so to do. As always, we would ask of you that you are very careful in your discrimination, setting aside any thought of ours that does not immediately appeal to you. If you will take care to guard the gateway to your own thoughts, then we shall feel free to share our opinions without being concerned that we might infringe upon your free will. It is crucial to us that we share information without such infringement, and so we thank each of you for this consideration. The query this day concerns the system of chakras that is used to structure the way that you think about your energy body. The question itself actually used the term density and dimension. However, we believe that we grasp that the actual intent of the query is more in terms of the internal workings of the body system rather than the macrocosmic point of view in which densities of the creation are considered. We apologize if we misunderstand or misspeak because of this misunderstanding. However, we believe that the points of interest within the query have to do with the difference between looking at the system of the physical vehicle and its connections with the metaphysical universe in the form of the energy body that interpenetrates your physical body. And so we shall answer according to our understanding of this question as somewhat revised from the original statement. We would take note of the way the question was phrased in simply saying that there is no true difference in the way the words density and dimension are used, so that whether you are talking about the third dimension or the third density, it is in general understood by students of metaphysical work that one is speaking of a quantum or certain kind of energy. The more appropriate of the two words for working with the concept of the octave of densities in the creation is the word density rather than dimension. However, these two words are used interchangeably for the most part, not only by this instrument, but also by many others whose works this instrument has read. The densities, macrocosmically speaking, are reproduced faithfully within the energy system of each and every entity that is in incarnation upon planet Earth at this time. Each of you has an energy body which contains elements that are as true in pitch as the notes of a scale. The difference between a conventional octave within your Western modalities of musical notation creates a choice of various scales among the 12 notes that make up the diatonic scale, so-called, within one octave of one of your instruments. In music, this 12-tone scale is a creation whereby in 12 half tones the tones are created from octave to octave so that the 12th tone is the same as the first. That diatonic scale sounds like this. Da 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 da. In contrast, the major scale chooses 8 of those 12 notes. And sounds like this. Da 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 da. There is a minor scale, and there are modal scales within the Western system of musical notation, all of which have 8 notes. It is to be noted in this regard, still speaking of music, that in the Eastern or Oriental ways of producing tone, there is no precise way of grading notes, in that not only are quarter tones appreciated and differentiated, but also those who are gifted musically can produce with their voice or upon an instrument that is unfretted an infinite number of gradations which have values less than a quarter tone. This is why Eastern music is fundamentally different in its effect upon the listener than Western music. Western music lives in tidy boxes of differentiation that have neat and regular borders, whereas the Oriental approach offers an infinite landscape upon which to create tone. If one gazes into the thinking and the culture of the West and the East, we would suggest that many inferences can be drawn by this difference. The tendency of the Western or Occidental orientation of mind is to choose the major scale to listen to in music, or one of the 8-tone scales. It is not by chance that this choice is natural to the Occidental culture. The reason for the use of an 8-chakra system, which is the 7 chakras and the octave chakra, or the 8th chakra being the same as the first, only an octave higher, is that the Occidental culture is like a younger version of the older Oriental 12-tone system. There are fewer gradations, fewer differentiations, and a clearer, simpler, plainer structure for looking at the self and structuring ways to interact with one's own energy system. On the other hand, the 12 chakra system is indicative of the further articulation of energies and the use of energy, which is more typical of Asian, Eastern, or Oriental thought. The 8 chakra system has been discussed previously, and so we will very briefly review that system. The red ray chakra is that chakra concerned mostly with survival and sexuality. The orange ray chakra, located in the lower belly, is associated with issues of personal relationship. The yellow ray chakra, or the solar plexus energy center, is associated with the energies of interacting with groups. The green ray, or heart chakra, is associated with opening the heart and discovering one's own sacred nature. The throat chakra, or the Blu-ray energy center, is connected with communication. The indigo ray center at the brow is associated with the disciplines of the personality and work in consciousness. And the violet ray chakra, which is the crown chakra, is associated with that readout or momentary reality that is expressing at any given moment, and is a system readout for the entire energy body. That is what we would call the occidental or western chakra structure. The subtleties of the 12th chakra system can be very helpful for students of metaphysics. They begin the same way as does the Western system. The first chakra being connected with issues of sexuality and survival. The second chakra, however, is divided in the Eastern system into two energy centers, one of which deals strictly with the self relating to the self. The second of these so-called orange ray energy centers dealing with the self in relation to other selves. The solar plexus chakra remains unified in the Eastern system. However, after the solar plexus is left, and before one reaches what in the Western system is the heart chakra, there is a chakra which this instrument has often spoken of as the outer court of the heart. It is helpful to realize that moving into the heart is not an unalloyed and simple joy. It is a process that in its inception can create a great deal of difficulty for the student and the seeker. The difficulty of moving into the heart is that one must bring all of the self into the heart in order for that space to become truly sacred. Most seekers are quite astonished when first they enter their own hearts to discover that there is a real perceived problem with meeting one's shadow side. After all the work of realizing that we are spiritual beings has been done, after clearing issues of personality, sexuality, survival, personal relationship, and all of the work that each entity is doing with groups. An entity who is seeking feels balanced and eager to enter that spacious holiness of the open heart. However, the first thing that most entities find upon entering this space is that, just as in the story within your New Testament of the entity known as Jesus the Christ walking into the temple and seeing all of the sellers of doves and so forth, which entities could buy for sacrifice. Entities walking into their own hearts find that there are sellers of doves there, hawking busily away with their own agendas. Little do most seekers know just how much of their personalities have been subverted and taken over by cultural expectation, parental teaching, and other sources of information which create, as this instrument was speaking of earlier, assumptions and theories about how things are that simply do not meet the standards of purity that particular space of the open heart requires in order for the seeker to penetrate from the outer courtyard to the inner sanctum. This is related to that concept or idea which is called psychic greeting or psychic attack. The outer courtyard of the heart is that place where those portions of your personality shell that have been allowed to express themselves without your being aware of their presence make their presence known. In many cases, entities will experience these energies as attacks. Perhaps they will feel that there is an entity that is actually attacking them from the outside. Some sort of overshadowing or attacking going on. Others have more sensitivity in discerning the source of such seeming attack and can pinpoint the energy as being within the system of the self. Whether these attacking energies are seen as part of the self or as coming from outside the self, fundamentally speaking, we may say that in our opinion, they are part of the self in that all things are one. And you as individual selves are actually tuning into the space and time that is articulated by the parameters of one particular kind of energy. Therefore, that which seems very personal and very threatening in many cases is in actuality not a threat, but simply that portion of self which has gone unnoticed and therefore undeveloped. There is great virtue in being willing to spend time in that outer courtyard of the open heart and to see that as a separate chakra or energy center. To spend time with those sellers of doves for sacrifice. To discover why your culture felt that sacrifice was necessary and why certain elements or essences within your personality have been chosen to be sacrificed. We speak in extremely non-literal terms here and are basically speaking of all of those energies of self that have escaped your attention up until now. Perhaps they did not so much escape your attention as that you felt that they were unworthy of attention. There are energies such as shame, guilt, jealousy, and anger that are systematically and ritually downplayed and discouraged in terms of outer expression within your culture. Nevertheless, these energies, too, need to be taken up, brought up into the light of attention, and given respect. These, too, are ways that you feel. These, too, are worthy to be examined, inspected, analyzed, and accompanied in whatever amount of time it takes for you to begin to be able to see their virtue and their value. Many seemingly rough and negative aspects of character and personality are precisely those energies that create a true depth to understanding and a genuine stability and steadiness of attention. The quality of anger, for instance, once translated into unquenchable stubbornness in dedication to service, can become the powerhouse that it was intended to be. But this cannot occur until the virtue of anger is seen straight on for its own self, its own essence. The outer sanctum of the heart chakra is therefore a a really powerful and very hurly-burly sort of energy, and to move from the outer courtyard into the inner sanctum of the heart becomes a much more clear and focused movement when that outer heart is given its own pride of place. Another difference between what we would call the Western and the Eastern chakra system is that immediately after the heart chakra and before the chakra of open communication, there is an added energy center in the Eastern system. To explicate why this becomes very helpful, it is well to point out that the green ray or heart chakra is the first energy center in which the possibility of a true energy exchange exists. The lower chakras, having to do with the self, its survival issues, its sexuality, its relationships with self and other self personally, and then its relationship with groups, are all energies that may be seen to be in need of balancing and clearing, so that they are neither underactivated nor overactivated. But one cannot share energy between red ray and red ray, or orange ray, or yellow ray. One may impress those energies upon another self, and because of the strength of your energy system, it is possible for energy to be impressed from you to another person, or for another person to impress you with their energy. It is, however, an overlay. It is time-bound in its effect and will wear off naturally. Many of your faith healers, so-called, are those who are healing from either the orange or the yellow ray chakra, and they are impressing their understanding and their environment upon another. And those who are able to accept those impressions are able to experience quite a bit of relief from various ailments for a certain time period. However, in every case, if it is at the level below the heart, those energies will not persevere and will fade away naturally. Only when one moves into the open heart can one begin to share energy, to exchange energy with another, to give love and to receive love. The great blessing of opening the heart and keeping it open is that working from the open heart, all of the functions of the lower energy centers are recreated as sacred. The chakras above the level of the heart are also energy centers from which energy exchanges can be made. The reason that this information is helpful in discussing the chakra that comes after the heart chakra in the Eastern system is that this energy center captures a structure that is missing completely from the Western system. There is a subtlety here that can only be appreciated by those who have done quite a bit of work in consciousness. It involves what this instrument has termed a 90-degree phase shift. These are not words that have an objective referent for this instrument, but they represent a phrase that she has heard many, many times in speaking with the one known as Don Elkins, who was largely working from concepts created by the one known as George Hunt Williamson. The key concept of this added chakra is that in this turning after the heart chakra, the turn includes the whole of the unseen realms of the metaphysical or time-space universe. It is an energy center that is focused upon right relationship with the extended family that one has in the unseen realms. The greatest part of this family for seekers is that portion that is connected with guidance. Each entity has a guidance system, and access to this guidance system is extremely helpful. If one focuses upon this particular energy center, one can do very precise work in opening oneself to the guidance that lies within. The other differences between Eastern and Western chakra systems have to do with subtleties within work and consciousness. In communication, which is the Blu-ray energy center, there is a division in the Eastern system between the communication of self with self and the communication of self with other selves. Further, there is a third division which deals with the communication of self with the extended family of gods, presences, essences, and entities that are connected with the self. We say this realizing that the subtleties of this are such that we cannot say to you in general what those various essences are. Each individual creates a web of family throughout not only the incarnation which you are enjoying at this time, but also those entities with whom you have worked between incarnations those entities with whom you have worked in past incarnations. And the non-planetary, non-local energies which have been drawn to you as a local entity within incarnation because of your work within incarnation and work you have done between incarnations. Each of you within this circle and each to whom we speak in the extended family of internet and a listener and readership that is constantly growing contains a large, loving, extended family that awaits your focus and your request for help in order to become more active within your life. It is important to remember, therefore, to request help from your guidance system. The other added chakra in this Eastern system is very difficult for us to express to you. Once the readout of violet ray has been cleared, there is an additional chakra in the Eastern system which is dedicated to that point where the energy of self spirals from the now into the possibilities of the future. It is the point which this instrument would call the gateway to intelligent infinity. We are aware that this information by itself is sterile and barren. We speak here of structures. It is you who draw the infinite love and light of the One Creator up into that structure, up into that energy body. It is you, by prayer, meditation, and other forms of requesting guidance, insight, and vision, draw from the energies of the One Infinite Creator, teaching entities such as we, and many, many other types of entities that do not speak at all, but who stream from the point of entry at the gateway of intelligent infinity down into the energy system that determines what kind of life your energy system has. Picture with us, if you will, the creature that you are. As you receive this information along your spine in the physical, lies a system of energy reception and usage. It is fed infinitely in an unending supply by the love and the light of the one creator. And that light is literally sent down into the heart of the earth, your mother, who then pours it from the center of the earth, or you might even say the womb of the earth, up through the earth into the soles of your feet, into your body system, so that it is constantly streaming into your energy system at the red ray level and rising as it will, and up out through the top of your head, or the gateway to intelligent infinity. Meanwhile, according to your desire, your will, and your request, guidance and teaching is being pulled into your energy system from the top through the violet ray, then the indigo ray, and so forth, until it reaches the blue ray or the green ray, depending on whether you are using those energies in communication or whether you are using them in healing, basically. Realize that the point at which those two energies meet is the point at which your kundalini is now focused. If you wish to raise your kundalini, you have two things to work on. Firstly, you have the clearing of lower energies so that you get full creative energy up through the soles of your feet and into your energy body. Secondly, you are attempting to focus your will, discipline your personality, and call forth the most helpful energies that you can to teach and guide you as you seek the truth. We thank the ones known as Steve and Sandy for this query, and would at this time open the meeting to other questions. Is there another query at this time?
Yeah, I was wanting to continue the earlier question Bruce had asked before about music, and I wanted to, know what the relationship is between taking in music and externalizing music through dancing or other expressive forms like martial arts.
We are those of Ukuo and are aware of your query, my brother. The dance or the movement of the body is that which begins on a very subtle level and which on, we correct this instrument, which is ongoing. Before your body was removed from the womb by the process of birth, the dance of life had already begun. The heart was beating. The blood pulsated through the body system. And there were cyclical movements at the cellular level, at the organic level, and at the system-wide level. The body which carries your consciousness was born into a world that was in the process of dancing its way through the billions of years that it takes a planet to express its life. All of the celestial movements that impinge upon your planet have their periodicity and represent a stately, elegant, highly embellished, and courtly dance of stars and earth. The elements have their dance of weather and erosion and time. By the time that second density entities such as trees and animals and all living things enter the world, the dance of the planets and the elements is highly articulated. And because second density entities are completely aware of the oneness and the interrelatedness of all of creation, they simply join the dance. It is one of the limitations that is necessary for third density entities to preserve their complete free will, that they are not instinctually completely aware of the dance that is going on in the world around them. The body itself is aware of the many rhythms and periodicities of the cosmic and the planetary dance. But the mind is not aware that these processes are going on. When entities develop a relationship to the environment about them, there is nothing more natural than the response of creating rhythmic movement. The body is already moving rhythmically. Not only is the heart beating, once the body has left the womb, the breathing is another layer of energetic periodicity, a pulse, if you will, that recurs constantly. So the body, even without reacting to the environment, is giving subtle indications that sensitive or artistic personalities will pick up on, that it is appropriate to respond to life by dancing. When the energies of the seasons, the day and the night, and all of the subtle gradations of the energies expressed by the elements and the heavens are added in, the possible expressive modes of the human body become infinite. How shall you as a living being respond to your environment in a sacred way? the movement of dance is one large area of appropriate response. A dance does not need to be accomplished or graceful in order for the entity who is dancing to realize the benefits of movement. It is necessary only that the person be willing to release the inhibition that would keep his limbs still. The whirling dervish is a good example of an entity whose dance is neither rhythmical nor beautiful in and of itself. Yet in the whirling, energies are released, the release of which is healing. And the resulting balance that comes from having expressed the feelings of being alive is a tremendously healing thing. May we answer you further, my brother?
I have another question about beauty. What is beauty beyond a rational valuing system? How do you define beauty?
Now we are those at Ukuo and are aware of your query, my brother. In this instrument's mind, we find what she calls a cliché, and that is that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. We have often said to you through this instrument that truth is relative, an intimate and personal thing, and very subjective. Truth and beauty are two of the denizens or citizens of the metaphysical world. They exist as what this instrument and what the one known as Plato would call ideals, and yet it is not that they are perfect or ideal, but rather that they have no form. As energies, they are essences rather than entities. In fourth density, you may meet them walking amongst the woods, the streams, and the flowers. Upon your sphere in third density, they can only be perceived by having someone create for them a form. This is why there is no objective definition either of truth or beauty, of peace or power, of hope or faith. This does not make them any less real. It means, however, that you are essential to the process of perceiving and valuing beauty. These essences are tremendously powerful. They appear in shadow form as your art, your poetry, your music and so forth. They can create a fever in the human heart. They can create as much despair as hope and seem very destructive, although their expression is tremendously constructive and helpful to your tribe as a whole. Those who attempt to perceive and express beauty are those who take on a very special service to others. For they must burn away parts of themselves in order to create forms which contain the inspiration that has come to the artist which creates this beauty. There is always, shall we say, a sacrificial aspect to the creation of beauty. It is not precisely that it takes anything away from the artist who creates it, but rather that it is an internalization of a process of seeing, which is much like what this instrument is going through and attempting to channel our concepts. If one is drawing or writing music or creating dance, all of these are stylized and flattened aspects of that essence which is very round, living, and infinite. The process of finding ways to objectify these intangible essences is by its nature sacrificial. And so it is often said that artists must suffer in order to produce their art. In actuality, all entities must suffer. It is just that not all entities have brought into incarnation aspects of their personality shell which have to do with translating the infinite aspects of beauty into finite form. May we answer you further, my brother?
No, that's it for now. It's enough to chew on.
We are those of Ukuo, and find that we have enough energy for one more query. Is there another query at this time?
Well, I have one point of clarification. Earlier you mentioned the rising of Kundalini. Could you clarify that? I mean, Kundalini is expressed as a noun. I understood the chakras to be a fixed frequency. What's raising up?
We are those of Ukuo, my brother, and are aware of your query. That which is rising or not is the point of contact between the natural energies available to all within creation and the energies of the creative principle called to the self by individual work. That point of contact begins, roughly speaking, within that point at which the outer courtyard of the heart yields to the inner sanctum. The Kundalini cannot be pulled lower than that, as information of the creative principle cannot be understood by any energies lower than that of the heart. However, the point of the Kundalini rising in terms of entities' desire to progress spiritually is that as one begins to be able to pull the full energy of that open heart up into working consciousness, each place that it is raised to opens up vistas of opportunity for various types of work in consciousness, not simply moving upwards as one aiming directly for the Creator, but in terms of at any level, for instance, in open communication, there is the opportunity to spread out one's discoveries and one's services by creating more and more layers of understanding or awareness of subtle energies involved in sub-densities, shall we say, of, say, open communication. Once the Kundalini has been pulled from the heart up into the throat, then more articulated work can be done in communication. And this is also true as the Kundalini continues to be pulled upwards by seeking and the careful development and discipline of the personality. May we answer you further, my brother?
What aspect of the self is doing the pulling?
We are those of Ukuo and are aware of your query, my brother. The aspect that pulls the entity forward is desire, or as it is sometimes called, will. May we answer you further, my brother?
That covers it. Thank you.
We are those of Kuo, and we thank you, my brother. At this time, we would take our leave of this group and this instrument, thanking you all for the beauty of your vibrations and your companionship of each other and of us. It is a great blessing to us. We leave you as we found you, in the love and in the light of the one infinite Creator. We are known to you as Nkua. Adonai. Adonai.